we kind of know the history. We're down six chapters into the birth of the church, the departure of the Lord, the day of Pentecost. All of course starting with the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of our God. Amen. And from that resurrection, of course, then he spent that 40 days. He spent that time together. Is that right? Anyway, he spent that time together with the disciples. And one of the last things he told them was, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. And so 120 people received the Holy Spirit. They were changed. You know, if we look at Peter and we see him pre-receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we see some weaknesses in him. We see him denying the Lord under pressure. We see him in conflict with himself. We see him, although, good intentions of trying to protect the Lord on one occasion and thus cutting the guy's ear off and the Lord having to heal that, not exactly you could see the good intention of that, but not exactly in the spirit of what the Lord was looking to do. In turn, here he is just a little while later, denying the Lord, and not just once, twice, but three times in accordance with the prophecy that was given to him. Well, that changed completely after the day of Pentecost. Now you've got 120 people, and who knows how many more was the overflow of that took place immediately. But we see that people went forth from that place. The apostles began preaching the gospel. Miracles started happening. Great things started happening. There was a great spirit of generosity that came upon the church as a whole. One of the great things I like in that is they had all things in common. You remember reading that part in there where nobody had a need. Hallelujah. What an awesome thing to think that the people of God could be so blessed and their hearts in tune, that they were not looking to preserve themselves, but to supply to one another. Thus, the church itself also had a supply to go and do things. So that was a great movement of God, where God moved on the hearts of all those people to give like that. It even talks about Barnabas who sold land and gave that, all of that in there. There was no commandment for that. That's what I like about that. You know, all this debate about, is tithing under the law? Are we commanded to tithe? And all I have to do is look at that and I see it's a condition of the heart, not law. And if something, if the heart is not generous, and particularly in that area as far as our funds, something's askew. Something's not in proper order. Now, I'm not saying what we ought to do is go and sell everything. That'd take a move of God for all that to happen for me to want to do that. Amen? But it did happen, right? And it didn't happen because of a commandment. There was no prophecy. There was not an apostle stand up and says, in the name of Jesus, this is what you got to do. It was something God moved on upon the hearts of everybody there, and they started going forth. And so Jesus started adding to the church numbers on a daily basis. There were conflicts with this. It was not easy going. Immediately, they get whipped and beaten for the name of Jesus. Even seeing somebody healed, miraculously healed, and what do you get as your due reward? Well, you get whipped and you get beaten. You're forbidden to speak in that name. But see, they're now filled with the Holy Ghost. They're now filled with that power, which is a greater power of grace working in our lives. That gives us the courage necessary to face what we have to face in any given moment. I don't know what reaction I would have on any given situation. I don't know that. I know pretty much my reaction in Houston traffic. But other than that, I'm working on that. Hallelujah. But I don't know. I don't know. I could sit there and say, hey, I want to do this. I'm trusting God who's in me that when a certain occasion comes, He's going to come out on that and manifest himself. So I have to be somewhat practiced in the relationship of yielding myself to him. Okay, so we've got all this history going, miracles happening, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we come to chapter 6. Now there starts to be the formulation of the church and the administration, and certain needs start popping up because they're amassing a group of people together. And, we don't know exactly where they met at. 3,000 the first time Peter preached. I think it's 3. Is that right, Daniel? 3 or 5? Something. Anyway, thousands of people get saved on Peter's first sermon. A little bit later, there's thousands more. Where are these people all gathering? It doesn't exactly tell us where all they're gathering. So here we are. And in those days, when the number of disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian women against the Hebrew women because the widows were neglected in their daily ministration. So what had taken place is the church immediately saw that it had this need to administer help unto the poor and particularly unto widows. Amen? And particularly unto widows. And so all those funds that were coming in, part of that was not going to build a nice building. Part of that was going to sustain life for certain parts of the body of Christ who weren't able to take care of themselves. As it was then, I maintain that's the same today. We still have the poor among us. Just like Jesus said, we have people who are in need. Tomorrow I might be in need. And so we have the ability to be able to bless others. So the Grecian women were seeing that there was a little bit of favoritism toward the Hebrew Christian women. And so they were kind of saying, hey, we're not getting our share of that. Okay, you with me? Okay, so that's the little problem we got. Which there's always problems. If there's not a problem right now, it's lurking around. It's just right around the corner. That's just the nature of this because we're dealing with human beings, right? Okay, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said to them, it's not reason for us that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Not that this is not to say that they were above that. They're not saying that, oh, well, wait a minute, the ministry's here, and so for some lowly thing like that, that's below us. They're not saying that. What they are saying is the things that we are handling right now in prayer and the word is of more importance, and we need to deal with that. And so they said to him, choose, look out amongst you, and find 7 men of honest report. I hope I could get on that list. Thank you, Don. 7 men of... I mean, this is not for apostleship. This is just to go and handle a situation in the church. There were qualifications. Not just anybody available was there to qualify to go and do that. And all they're going to do is go and make sure that the Grecian women get their portion, the Hebrew women get their portion, and calm down that little problem that's there. Even there, the apostles see the need for certain qualifications for those who are going to be in service to the Lord. Okay, so of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. I like that. Amen. That'd be, what do you mean? You're just going to go, give them some money. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And of these that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Because that's, it's just ongoing now with all these people that are coming in, maintaining the church as it is there and preaching to them and ministering to them. And then also the evangelism that was also taking place. These people are busy people. And so for this, they selected what we might call and really is the first indication of what later Paul calls the position of deacon. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit. Let me finish that and then we'll talk about it. Okay. And they say, please, the whole multitude. Everybody's happy with that. That's a good deal. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. You remember him. He got so full of faith he got whacked. Right? And he was full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Philip, who later becomes Philip the evangelist. Philip, the evangelist who has 4 daughters who prophesy, started as this position of having a problem and being chosen because of these 4 things in his life to go and do that. And that amount of faithfulness starts piling up and God starts promoting people. Okay, so you got Philip and you got Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, and Parmenas. And Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. And when they set them before the apostles, When they had prayed, they laid hands on them, praise God, and prayed over them. And it says, and the word of God increased in the number of disciples, multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Praise God. So the whole idea of what we say now of deacons, you've heard the term in some denominations, the board of deacons, all started with this little problem. All started because the apostolic ministry at that time was so busy, it needed someone else to tend to this particular need that was there. It doesn't say that it's ongoing. Do you see that? It was per this incident. So in this incident, they went and did that, and that was discharged. There may have been other things that came up of which they also were then... but it didn't all of a sudden, after they fixed this situation, turn into the board of deacons, and they start voting and saying who's going to do what and who's going to do where and when in the church. Somewhere along the line, that got greatly perverted in my mind. Because the word deacon simply means servant. Simply, that's all it means, is servant. We may say, well, this is someone who's had hands laid upon them, and they've been given authority to go and do certain things in the name of the church, the local church, and the leadership that's there, and that's fine. But when it all boils out, it's that of servant. We're back to that, aren't we? We never get beyond that. As a matter of fact, let me remind you of a scripture. After having done everything, and you enter the kingdom of heaven, here's what you want to hear. Well done, good and faithful apostle, pastor, prophet. No. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. So all this concept of, particularly, there's just a lot of it that goes on today, developing this hierarchy, I've heard them say, well, I'm an apostle over this territory, and so, what does that mean? It usually means this. That's what it usually means. That means, well, you need to recognize me. If I had a guy tell me one time and asked me, he said, well, who are you submitted to? And so I don't like that question. I don't like that question. And I told him, I said, I'm submitted to Jesus Christ. No, you know what I mean. I said, I do know what you mean. And my answer again is Jesus Christ. I believe that if I'm submitted to Him first and foremost, I can submit to anybody. If I'm out of kilter with Him, I'm going to get out of kilter with others. But the primary place for all of us as disciples of the Lord is that we're His servant and we're in submission to Him. So all this nonsense of, apostles, and the church can't grow without apostles, and the church can't do this. The church can't do anything without Jesus, and that's it. If we have apostles and prophets, good. Thank God for that. Pastors, evangelists, teachers, great. Deacons and servants, great. Hallelujah. Deaconesses also are in the book. It's not just, in this case, they said, choose 7 men. But we also see Paul talking in Acts, and he talks about Phoebe. And it uses, when it says a servant of the church, it uses that same word, diakonos. The same word that's used here in the 6th chapter. It didn't have gender relations to that. It was servants, a servant, male or female. And so there's, I know, thank God, a lot of you haven't gotten out much and been part of a bunch of other churches and a bunch of other stuff. I can say in some ways you're greatly blessed, because there's a bunch of nonsense out there. A bunch of nonsense where people are trying to make themselves... We're still fighting that same old stupid deal of who's the greatest. It's still happening amongst leaders today. Who's the greatest? Well, you know who's the greatest. Who pays tithe to the other guy? The guy who receives the tithes or receives the money, he's the greatest. And so they got this Amway system going for ministry, to buy into this program, which supposedly they're supposed to release blessings to me that I already thought were released by Jesus. Already released by Jesus. But I'm going to join this group, so those blessings come here, and then I'm going to give money up to, and it's going to go up the ladder and up the ladder and to some body on up there. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. I believe in the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. I believe in the rightful place of them, you know, in the church and the ministry. And we need to have the effect of all those ministries in our lives, both here in this house and whatever we can avail ourselves externally out of this house. Amen? I don't think I could be everything you need. I don't see how it's possible. I'm not everything I need. So how am I going to be everything that you need? Hallelujah. The best I could do is point you in the direction of He who has everything that you need, the Lord Jesus. Amen? And walk with you in that, praise God. And so I just once again, and when I was looking at this today, I thought to myself, how has this gotten so confused? So confused, you know. And now there's a whole group, which I've dealt with several of them, that were board of deacons. And you couldn't do anything without them telling the leaders. Is that how you read that? They came back and told the apostles, hey, we're taking over now, and we'll tell you what to do, and all that kind of stuff. It's just not in the book. Man got into it, started messing with it, and all because, to me, of one thing. We forget we're servants, right, Kenny? We're just servants. Something needs to be done, we need to do it. Hallelujah. As we say here, you know, the kind of leader we want to be is what? Servant leaders. Not somebody sitting around barking orders, but servant leaders. If there's something needs to be done, then we need to get in and do it. Amen? There's not any higher above. The highest calling you and I got is that of believer, of child of God. There is nothing higher than that. There is not in this book an apostle name or one you may know that's higher than the position you carry as a child of God. Hallelujah. Now, we could submit. We could submit to leaders. We could submit to their counsel and their teachings and those things. But first, it's with Him. And if we're in the correct order with Him, I could be in correct order with others. So, needless to say, I didn't get to be a part of that group. That guy, he didn't care for my answer that much. But I started my own group. So there, have that. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got a group? I'll start a group. That doesn't seem to be too hard to do. Praise the Lord. Okay, so really, when we look throughout the Word of God, I like looking at the end of the chapters, the Pauline chapters, because once, as you've heard me teach on, it gives you the name of people, and it says they were helpers. They were helpers of mine. They were workers. They were, you know, it didn't say exactly what they did. You know, Timothy was called to, hey, bring some money over from Philippi, I believe it was, and bring my cloak also. Service can be as simple as bringing a needed item to a certain place and doing that. So my thought is, we're simply all called to be servants. Hallelujah. And when we're looking at that, that's an humbling thing. That we who were once enemies of God, let me speak for myself, I used to be an enemy of God, a blasphemer. The Scripture says, because I wasn't in Christ, I was these things, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. It says in there, I had no hope. But because of Jesus Christ, He's taken all of us, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, put us in the kingdom of life, and now we're here to serve Him. Simply serving. You've heard me say, I like how our church is a serving church. I see people doing stuff all the time. You're not going to know what a lot of people do. Amen? If they don't do it, you're going to know about it. Amen? I mean, you like toilet paper in your bathrooms when you need it? That's kind of, in that point, more important than an apostle. Putting things in perspective, that is. Okay? So, yeah, I mean, there's people doing things, praise God, and I appreciate their names are known by the King. That's what's important. Praise God. Amen? And folks, that's all I have. Again, I could kill it for another 10 minutes. But don't you have the point? We're all servants. We need to be serving. We need to be helping one another. We find something we need to do, we need to do it. Amen? Okay. Ready to pray? Hey, buddy, is there an echo? Or is it my ears only? Just crank it down a tad, would you? So we got about 6-7 minutes. So let's pray, okay? Hallelujah. Had a good time yesterday praying. We're going to continue our Tuesdays praying. Once again, the number's not important, but that we have prayer that's going. We've increased that. We've increased it on Wednesdays, kind of alternating from teaching and prayer. And so, you know, today I wanted to do a little bit on that just to remind us we're all servants.